And to help us learn about the Panthers, we'll talk to Joe Person, who covers the team for The Athletic in Charlotte, has been on that beat. Great content on the Panthers for many, many years. Joe, thank you for the time. Welcome onto the program. How are you?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not much, my friend. It's weird for us up here. Two organizations that I think have a lot in common over the last handful of seasons. Hasn't really gone well, but it's starting to here in Washington. Not really sure about this Panthers team, though. Kind of give us a feel. What's the vibe like at this point? I know the record isn't where they want, but it looks like they've been playing slightly better football since they made that quarterback change.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, like the short answer of all this matchup is it looks like the Commanders got the quarterback right and the Panthers didn't. And, you know, there's a lot of other interesting things we can and will talk about, but that is the bottom line. Since the Panthers replaced Bryce Young in week three, their offense has certainly been more competent under Andy Dalton. The numbers are, you know, pretty striking. I mean, it's not like they're in the top third of the league. Well, they are kind of been, at least for the last few weeks, the top third of the league. But they were dead last under Bryce. It was a mess. Dave Canales, first-year coach, who's an offensive guy. He was brought in here because of his work in Seattle with Geno Smith turning him around and then Baker Mayfield in Tampa. And that was the hope here. And it didn't work. It just didn't work. I mean, I still think I've written that they should at some point, if they're going to keep losing, which I think they are because of especially problems on defense and injuries to key players on defense, I think they should go back to Bryce at some point and take one more look at him before, you know, you decide to punt him in the offseason. But they're not there yet, and so it'll be Andy Dalton versus Jaden Daniels Sunday in Washington.
How much of the problem was Bryce Young being bad, and how much of it was everything else swirling?
So I think we could do a whole show on this, but I think the problem from a big picture was his rookie season. He got beat up. He got knocked into shell shock. They had offensive. They didn't have enough depth on the offensive line, so when they had a couple injuries, it was a complete turnstile. 62 sacks he absorbed, more than any rookie other than David Carr. And they didn't have any weapons either. Their playmakers were very suspect. So this year, spent a lot of money on the offensive line, primarily the two offensive guards, Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis in free agency, both of whom had played very well. And they brought in, they drafted Xavier Leggett late in the first round. They did some nice, they added some other pieces here and there. And so with Deontay Johnson. But the first 2 weeks of the season, you just saw Bryce not trusting the pocket. He was abandoning, you know, clean protections and clean pockets. And so, yes, the problem, with the close-up lens was Bryce these first two games. Bigger picture, this organization failed him last year especially and, you know, kind of got him lack of confidence, lack of everything.
Joe Person of The Athletic with us here on G&D, breaking down the Panthers. So, Joe, let's get to who will be on the field. This offense, as you mentioned, with Dalton at the helm, is not bad by any stretch. Chuba Hubbard is a good back. They pose some threats, and Washington's defense, quite frankly, to use an industry term, stinks. So I think there'll be some points and ball movement here for Carolina.
Yeah, I was talking to someone at Panthers practice today and talking about take the over this weekend. And I don't even know what the over is, but take it. Chuba Hubbard's done some very nice things, as you mentioned, that while Dave Canales has that quarterback reputation, he really is about establishing the run game. And they have really stuck with that and done pretty well with it and then set up the play-action game off of that. And Andy, look, he's 36 years old. He's been in the league since 2011. Like, he has seen some things. And so, as I said, the offensive line's better. So they do a pretty good job protecting him most of the time. You know, the big question, Deontay Johnson has a bunch of nicks and bruises and he somehow managed to injure his rib during a Friday light practice. Now, I said, wait a second, is this a contact injury on a Friday? And no, more like kind of like, I'm assuming it's kind of more of like an oblique type thing. But at any rate, he's questionable, and there's a lot of speculation and, up here that, down here, is this a Davante Adams situation? Are they just going to, make up injuries and keep him on the shelf so they can trade him to a team that needs a wide receiver? But so I don't know if he'll play. He's been very good. He's been Andy Dalton's top target. And then after him, I mentioned Leggett has starting to come into his own. But that would be a big loss if Deontay Johnson does not play Sunday.
How about the Panthers' defense? Let's start with Frankie Louvu, who Commanders fans are falling in love with for how he plays. How much is Carolina missing him?
Big time. I wrote an article today with my colleague in Washington, Ben Standig, and as part of it, I put out, the belief by some, and including myself, that while they lost, they traded away Brian Burns, I would argue that Frankie Louvu was as big, if not a greater loss. Than that.
Wow.
The production is terrific. It was terrific here. And I know he's, doing much the same in Washington. But then just the energy he plays with, the enthusiasm he brings to the game, they could have used that this year because week one they lose Derek Brown, their only real current Pro Bowler on defense. He's out for the year. Veteran linebacker Shaq Thompson a couple weeks later, out for the year with an Achilles, and they just, Jadeveon Clowney's going to miss his second game in a row. Like, they're beat up. They need some glue on defense is just what I'm trying to say, and that glue would, for the last 3 years here, was Frankie Louvu, and he's gone, and they don't have anybody who's does the things he does on the field and off the field with, as I say, with the, the Samoan war chants, all this cool things he does to bring his teammates energy, and the Commanders have it and the Panthers don't.
Joe, what does this defense do well, if anything? Are there any things, or even, maybe well is not the right word, but what are their relative strengths? And I guess what I'm getting to is, what challenge can they pose, if any, to this Washington offense that's been pretty darn good?
Their greatest strength is giving up points. And okay. They're giving up 34 points a game, guys. Like, if they stay on pace, they're going to threaten to give up more points than any team in NFL history. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. They don't do anything good. They don't stop the run. They don't pressure the passer. They don't force takeaways. Sorry, I've got my brother's dog here and making a whole lot of noise. Not mine.
He's agreeing with you.
What kind of dog is it?
I'm not even sure. I have a lab. This is a loud dog. In fact, I'm going to see if I can find
it. I don't know if that's a type, but I like it.
What breed is it? It's a loud one.
But you were telling us, and we weren't enjoying it at all, you were telling us that the Panthers' defense is exceptional, I believe.
I think one of you used the industry term stinks. And
yes.
And they stink. They reek. I mean, it's, and I feel bad, but everybody's hands are on it, right? Like, every team has injuries. But Dave Canales said today, look, no one wants to hear your excuse. He said, but we've been slammed pretty hard by the injury deal. So, they have a good coordinator. Like, Ajero Averro, their defensive coordinator, he is been in head coaching interviews the last two hiring cycles, and I mean this is going to stick to him a little bit too, I think. And I just don't know how they turn it around. I mean, as I said, like, they are pulling guys off the street. They've signed about every veteran edge rusher who was on his couch. Most recently, Shaq Lawson, who may play Sunday. They signed him last week, former Bills edge rusher. I mean, they're looking for any kind of spark they can get. But I think realistically, if they have any shot of winning, it's going to just have to be a shootout.
We're scouting the Panthers. Joe Person's with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Here in Washington, we have a model terrific ownership situation. And I don't know what it would be like to have an owner that
Can't
people
imagine.
Don't like. That would just be tough. And frankly, I'm really glad we will never have to deal with that here. But I want to talk David Tepper. Is he the silly goose? Is he the Snyder maniacal loser that everybody pretends like or suggests that he is, I should say?
Listen, all these guys are bright in the business realm. And certainly, I mean, this is a guy who's worth, you know, his net worth went up during the pandemic, and he's now worth $20 billion. And like, when he goes on CNBC, the markets move. Like, but guess what? Nobody cares. Like, that's great, but that doesn't mean you should be picking the quarterback or, you know, getting your hands on all these personnel decisions. And I do think after, you know, six straight years of not being in the playoffs, soon to be seven, he has been more hands-on with this new regime. Like, they, you know, they fired Scott Fitter as GM, who's now, as you guys know, in Washington. They fired Frank Reich 11 games into last season. So they replaced Fitter with his assistant, Dan Morgan, former Miami University of Miami great and former Panther linebacker. And then I mentioned Dave Canales, and I do think that Tepper is trying to be more hands-off, and that's a good thing. I mean, it hasn't shown up yet in wins and losses. But that can only be good for this organization moving forward. And, you know, if he sticks with it, I mean, that's a hard deal. Like, how many of us really actually change? But, you know, I do know I think he knows the narrative out there now. And so I think he's going to try really hard not to fire the head coach after one season like he did in less than one season last year with Frank Reich.
All right, Joe, call your shot. Point to center field. How's this one going to go?
I think the Commanders score 38 points and win by two scores, maybe even three scores.
Wow. Dude. I mean, we just can't get used to this yet. You'll have to give us a moment because it's been many, many years.
But like, you're in Washington right now, Joe. We're not Kansas City radio. Like, we're not like Seattle.
Oh, you thought they were playing the Chiefs. Joe, yeah. This is D.C.
We don't do that, man.
Yeah.
You guys just wait till Sunday.
Again, I'm not saying it's going to be 38-0. I think the Panthers will score some points.
Oh, yeah,
but
us too.
Like, last week they lost to the Falcons 38-20. That sounds about right. Like, that's kind of what I have in my head for this week as well.
Wow. What a time to be alive. Joe, thank you. We appreciate the insight.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. Y'all have a great weekend.
Good scouting session there from him on the Commanders and the Panthers. Couple of things that stand out. You want to talk about juxtapositions for organizations that Ron Rivera left in a heap of just a pile of
rubble
problems, right? Carolina picks number one and picks Bryce Young, right? They're wrong. He's on the bench. They're in big, big trouble, and they need a quarterback. Washington picks two, and it seems like by going Jaden Daniels, hit a home run, and everything has changed in the organization like this overnight. So that's the first thing. The second thing is they've got the owner that everybody right now is saying is Dan Snyder-like.
Yes, yes.
Who he just said he's being more hands-off, which is great.
Dan would go a season at a time.
Exactly. But
whoever the new hero was. Yeah.
I do find it funny. I'm not arguing with Joe because Joe knows the situation really well. I saw a video 2 weeks ago on Twitter, of David Tepper walking between the players as they were stretching at practice. Like, not like standing off on the sideline. Like, David Tepper, arms crossed, like he's the coordinator ready to call a play. Like, they're stretching on the practice field, and Mr. I'm not involved anymore is just walking the lines at practice.
He's doing coachism. He's like, hey, man, great day. Have a great day.
Now, I will say, I've talked to a couple people who worked for him in Carolina, and they say he is not anything like what you hear about publicly, that he's actually, like, a pretty decent, reasonable guy. But there's enough deposits now in the you're a jerk pile that I go, I'm not so sure. Do you remember the video that came out? Did anybody see this?
Smacking the guy's hat or whatever?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he smacked his hat, but he there's like a sign outside of a restaurant trolling him. I don't remember what it said exactly, but it was like Tepper, let the football people do football things or whatever. And he likes him and his assistant essentially stop, get out of their car, go into the restaurant. And there's a video of him in the lobby of this restaurant, like making this guy with like a backwards hat, like turn his hat around or something. It's like grown up. He's 30. You're 60. Don't tell someone how to wear a hat. Like that right there, I'm out. You know what I mean? I'm just out.
So when I hear that he's not like that all the time, all that tells me is that he's capable of normal behavior too. See what I'm saying?
Like, did he pour a drink on someone?
I think that was him.
Right?
I'm conflating all my accusations. I'm not concerned with the specifics. Here's what I know. Somebody's like it was the old Snyder thing where people that were close to him were like, well, Dan just wants to win. Oh, I'd like to be handsome, and I'd like to have a metabolism. I'd like to lose 50 pounds. What have I done about that, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd like a lot of things to go down. But there was no real cognizant effort for it. When you look at Tepper, this is the, like, he's capable of sitting down and being a civil human being in a meeting. So was Dan, you know? But the tyrannical behavior speaks for itself. You got enough deposits in the bank where you're like, yeah, the sooner he doesn't own that team, the better for that fan base. So I feel for them because I have been there. I was there for 30-plus years, so it's my turn to not feel that way. They have had a lot more success, even over the last decade-plus than Washington
So I'm looking
has.
At a video here just to finish that point or to at least corroborate it. So he did. He had a cup of, like, water or whatever he was drinking, and there was an annoying Jaguars fan in front of his suite who was turned around yelling at him, who's a jerk and a troll.
Sure.
But, it's Friday, so we've got two of those deal with on Twitter.
Slightly more accepted if you own the football team, though, I'd say.
And so he just takes his drink and throws it on the guy.
You know what's amazing, though, about that video? I forgot about it. Is the flip of the cup afterwards. Right. Like, got him. Like a bat flip, like you just were David Fry hitting a nuke to beat the Yankees at home last night. You
know? I do. I've always wondered what it's like to have an owner that you can't stand.
Wouldn't know.
Because I'm a big Josh Harris guy and Mitch Rales guy and Mark Ein guy and Magic Johnson guy. So what if you were a football fan who just had a bad owner that gave you no chance? Wouldn't be me.
Couldn't be me. Not here.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are out and about on a Friday field trip in Leesburg. From Spanky's Shenanigans, having a good time. We'll take a look at some of the player props next. Jump on and over or under on some of the projections using some FanDuel numbers. You're locked into G&D ahead of Week 7 in the NFL on the Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are on the road today for the first stop of our Friday field trips. We're in Leesburg. We're going to be bouncing around. We got some dates out west here in Virginia. We're going to be in Maryland. I think we might even do a couple of our stops in the district where we broadcast from every day by Nats Park.
Yes.
We're at Spanky's Shenanigans today. Our guy Colt, not McCoy.
Nope.
But a guy, Colt, that works here and runs the show, came over here and was like, do you guys need more shrimp? And Danny did not let him finish the question before he told him we did need more shrimp.
I said, yes. And he was like, I'm going to bring. I said, yes. And he goes, 2 pounds. I go, what's Grant going to eat? Come on, having fun. Having a nice time. We're doing slinks. But, yeah, seriously, I plan on eating the full amount.
It's a lot of shrimp, man.
It is. It is.
We'll do this thing together. Beltway Blitz coming up at the top of the hour in 30 minutes at 4 o'clock. We're giving away Caps tickets right at 4. In 30 minutes ahead of the Blitz, so make sure you got your dialing fingers ready. I was at the Caps game last night for the second time in as many games.
Oh, how were your seats?
They're very good seats.
Where'd you sit?
We sat pretty low.
How low?
We banged on the glass a little bit.
Yeah, you did, ice level.
We felt good about it. Two straight games where they have played elite Western Conference opponents that have a chance to get to a Stanley Cup.
Undefeated teams, no longer undefeated.
And they have beaten both of those teams.
Swing on by D.C. You might get yourself butt-whooping, then you can go about your business.
Tomorrow night, first Altcast. So I do want to throw that out there for people.
Your first Dana Altman cast. I love
it. So you guys have seen the Manning cast for Monday Night Football games where he and Eli sit there in their sweater vests or whatever it is that they wear. I'm going to be sitting on the couch with Bruce Boudreau, former Caps coach, Tariq El-Bashir of Monumental Sports and Entertainment as well on their network. And we're going to be watching the Caps game reacting on Monumental Sports, the Deuce, tomorrow night for an alternate broadcast during Joe Bianlocker's call.
So cool.
We will have John Buccigross from ESPN for Bucci Overtime Challenge on. And Jake Irvin of the Nationals is going to join us. I don't know if you know this. Jake Irvin of the Nats is a huge hockey guy.
He's a hockey guy?
He's from Minnesota. He's a gigantic hockey fan.
Uh-huh.
So I texted him asking him to come on. Thought I would have to like hey, man, you know, we'll make it right. I'll figure something out. He's like, dude, I'd love to. And then I text him who's on, and he's like, Bruce Boudreau, no way. Like,
he's like super
up.
Into it?
Exactly.
Wow.
I'm guessing because Boudreau ended up, remember, he coached in Minnesota.
Of course, yeah.
I bet he's a fan of the Wild, so there's some ties there. But, yeah, Irvin will be on the show calling in, so it's going to be a good time.
It's, you know, it's always so weird. You forget. Like, these guys, they get to the highest level there is in their sport. Like, oftentimes grew up liking multiple things.
That's
you
true.
Know, like, the biggest basketball fan on this planet is Anthony Rendon. Like, while he's hitting 320.
Now, he does not like playing baseball.
He never enjoyed it. But, like, while he was playing well, he's hitting, like, 300 with 30 bombs. And he's like, man, the Rockets backcourt, man, I hope they figure it out. You're like, dude, what about your team? You're going to win 100 games. He's like, yeah, it's fine. But, like, Steve Francis was great in Houston. You're like, okay. Just a different story, dude.
Darius, do you have any game show music for us back in the studio? Can you play that if you have a little game show music? Look at him. That quick.
Right quick.
We love it.
It's almost like he's here, but he's there.
Crank it just a little bit so that people can hear it here in Leesburg so that they know we're playing a game. All right. You can't turn around. There's a guy over there holding a really cute girl with Commander's gear on.
Okay, so don't look.
Don't turn around. Look at us that way, okay? He's wearing a 98 Redskins jersey. The game is, do we think it's a Brian Arakpo or a Jesse Armstead? That is the question.
Or is it one of those that you just pick 98 and then put your own name on the back, the customizable?
Oh, a customized. So you're going three deep.
Now, this is an obscure one. I do not have the jersey thing that you have. I barely remember most. I only remember a few numbers.
You remember, like, that Brian Arakpo was 98.
I do now that you said it. But, like, I remember Art Monk and Daryl Green and John Riggins and a couple others. Did Brandon Noble wear 98 back in the day?
Brandon Noble wore 95.
There you go. Okay.
How many people, show of hands here in Leesburg, how many people remember who Brandon Noble is? That is a deep cut.
Everybody's hands are
down. One guy at the bar. Okay, we got two.
It actually is Brandon Noble. Did you know that? That's
Brandon
right
Noble.
What
a nice guy, by the way.
Yeah.
Brandon Noble played for the Cowboys, then left Dallas, came to Washington, was a gigantic, hefty, white defensive tackle, nose tackle.
He was here to eat space, and that was the end of it.
With big beard.
Yeah.
But he got hurt here, and then when they cleaned out his knee.
He had the knee infection.
Did some scope. There was a bad infection that kind of derailed him. All right, I'm going to say it's a Brian Arakpo. Are you going with an Arakpo, an Armstead, or a build-your-own jersey?
Build-your-own bear. Build-your jersey.
All right, here we go. Now spin around for the
show
reveal.
Show me potato salad.
Arakpo. 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 Ladies and gentlemen. Arakpo. That's the way we play the game. Is that 98 in Arakpo or not?
We play. That's how you play Arakpo, Armstead, or customizable.
Yeah, we play it all the time.
We play it all the time?
If we had a dollar for every time we played that game.
So I know it's not the point of the story.
We would have $1.
We have topics. Yeah. But I over-talk about this. I thought it was the weirdest thing ever. So when I went on that dude trip years ago to Austin, Texas, we all met and we went to the UT game.
Is that the one where you got cut in the shower or something?
No, that was the second time we went back to the greater Austin area. You could still see the scar right there, by the way, on the old finger. I was naked in the shower, as one does, and just closed the door. That was my fault, just by closing the shower door. It exploded, cuts everywhere. That's a nerve-wracking thing to be nude and bloody. Anyway.
Any hoodles.
Any hoods. No, this is a few years before we went to the Texas game. And it's like, it's a carnival. The whole town is Texas, right? The whole town is the University of Texas. And there's a booth, and there's no one in line, and there's a sign. I get around to see what the front of the sign is, and it's meet and greet Brian Arakpo. And there was no one there to see him.
That's tough.
And it was so
But why?
I'm like, I feel terrible. And everyone's like, let's go to the – we're walking to the game. We're like, but should we go say hi to Brian Arakpo? And one guy was like, wasn't he kind of mean to you once on the air? And I was like, you know, you're right. Let's go to the game.
No, it was a misunderstanding. He was actually a very nice guy.
He certainly didn't care for me and my question.
Well, maybe it wasn't a good question.
Here was the question. I'm not embellishing it for the radio or for you. You had such a good rookie season. What do you want to improve on this year? Like, what do you want to do better? How do you continue to grow? You could hear the biting, you know, gotcha sort of angst-ridden question that was. He's like, what do you think I need to improve on? I was like, I don't know, man. I'm a radio host. I've never played in the NFL. He's like, exactly. I was like, all right, you can do the rest of the interview, I guess. I'll just sit here.
But he is a legend in Texas, and he actually did have a really good career.
He had a great college career.
And he was the 13th overall pick in the draft.
Yeah.
So I'm going to – if he was not signing autographs for a line of people, they put him in a bad – it was a bad location.
The center of town.
I thought you said he was, like, behind something.
Oh, no. Like, as you're walking, there's, like, it's like all roads lead here. Apparently not. You had to go out of your way to go around.
Are you sure there weren't people?
Oh, yeah. I'm positive.
That's crazy.
I mean, the only thing in line was tumbleweed. Like, it was empty. It was, like, gut-wrenching a little bit.
Would you,
like,
disagree with – I think he is a top 10 Texas football star of the last 15 years.
I don't know. I can't rattle off everybody
actually before.
Went to Texas.
He got drafted, I think,
09? 08, 09, somewhere
yeah.
there?
So over 20 years, I put him in their top 10.
Who knows? Honestly, who knows? But I will tell you, nobody was concerned about that Brian Arakpo booth.
Here comes some black and shrimp.
The shrimp, everybody.
Gentlemen.
The shrimp is here. The shrimp is
there
here.
There you go. Thank you very
Biggest
much.
Biggest pop of the day for the shrimp.
Yeah, that's good. The shrimp is good. Mm-hmm. All right, let's bring in Darius back in our D.C. studios. We will begin.
What's the first over-under, the shrimp?
I think, yeah. Let's start with that, Darius. How many shrimp will we consume for the rest of the show? We're going over and under. We'll use FanDuel lines because I'm a FanDuel guy. And we will look at the player props for this weekend against the Panthers. What's up, brother?
FanDuel has the over-under set for shrimp eaten by each of you at 20.5.
20.5. Do I get to count the ones I've already consumed? Or
yeah,
no?
what's the rule there?
Time already served?
Yeah, counting the ones that have already been consumed.
All right, so I'm at 14. I like the over.
Yeah, there we go.
The over is an easy hammer.
I think you might have already hit the over.
Right now we're at a push with a whole plate of shrimp to go.
All right. Easiest bet ever.
Yeah.
Let's get to the real ones. Let's start with quarterback one for the Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels. 241.5 passing yards, over or under.
This is an over for me. So here's the way I think this is going to go. Carolina cannot stop anything at any point in time. I think they're going to take after maybe what the Ravens tried to do, what the Browns tried to do. I think they're going to commit every single resource to try to stop Jaden Daniels on keepers and try to stop Brian Robinson. Good luck with that, by the way. Best of luck to you. Good fortune. Enjoy all jogging backwards as points got scored to line up for extra points. But I do think Daniels will be able to sling it, and then I think they run it later.
Give me the number again.
241.5.
Leesburg. Jaden Daniels this weekend will have his first ever 300-yard game. He will go way over that number. You're forgetting that the Panthers are really, really bad defensively.
Yep.
And that Danny would go for like 176 against them. Jaden Daniels for 300 yards for the first time, way over. They're going to hit on some explosives. I think McLaurin has a 100-yard game. This will be like a Diami Brown one catch for 51-yard game. What do you bet? What are you upset about?
Ryan just stole a shrimp.
That's not he brought it for the table. I don't think it's stealing a shrimp. There's 80 shrimp there.
Huh. Now there's 79.
Right. Because he consumed one of the shrimp that also for him.
Hmm. Were they?
I think they were. He works on the show. He's one of your producers.
Yep.
Darius, back to you.
The opposing quarterback for the Panthers will be Andy Dalton. They have his over-under set at 233.5.
So right after he goes to his dentist appointment, then he'll have to throw some passes. I actually have an over on this. I think they are chasing. I think this is a garbage time. He'll have 110 to 120 yards in when the game is still meaningful, and they'll be behind by so much. It's prevent style. They'll be up multiple scores, talking about Washington. I think he gets over this, but it's not through the front door.
I will go under that number. I think they run the ball effectively with Chuba Hubbard. He goes for over 100, take the air out of the ball a little bit, and maybe there's less them trying to throw the ball down the field. I agree with the garbage time potential backdoor cover situation. That's how he would get there.
Mm-hmm.
But 240 is a good number. I mean, it's going to be like a 115-yard first half. I don't see him getting there, so I'll say under that.
The running back props, there actually are none listed for the Commanders as there's still some doubt for Brian Robinson. So we'll go with Jaden Daniels. His rushing prop is set at 50.5.
I go over every single week. I think I've unsuccessfully predicted that now more often than he's gone over. But I'm still going to go over because I keep predicting there will be a week where he rips off the 57-yard run.
Mm-hmm.
That has not happened yet. He is one of the fastest guys on the field. The last couple weeks, we've talked about this, teams have actually done a great job against Washington's designed runs. A lot of their RPO stuff or their read option looks, anything designed, naked boots, all that. It's been really well played. Last week, Baltimore, on three design runs, held Daniels to 3 yards. I do think, though, whether it's a scramble or a hitting, one time where he keeps, there was a play that Jay Gruden highlighted on Twitter, actually.
Where he could have kept it.
Yeah, if he kept it, he's got a lane all the way to the house. So I think it's coming. I will say over. I mean, the guy runs more than any other quarterback almost in the league in terms of scramble percentage when pressured. And this isn't going to be a big pressure game, so maybe the attempts are down. But 50 is a low number for a guy with his speed.
Yeah, I'm going to hammer the under once again. He's been over that total twice this year out of six times. I think that's what everybody's trying to stop. That's they're terrified of the thing that you just said. I think they'll overcommit to that, which is why he has a big day in other areas.
Darris, we will continue with some of the props a little later on in the show. By the way, just so you know, because Darris, who's our producer, who had to drew the short straw to stay back in studio, he has a bit of a shellfish allergy. Are you, now, shrimp are not, I guess they would be shellfish.
That's 100% a shellfish.
He's a crab and like a lobster problem guy, not a shrimp problem.
I think shrimp's a problem too.
Where are you at on shrimp, Darris?
So before my allergy reached its peak, I used to eat shrimp, and shrimp was lovely, and I used to love shrimp so much. But then, yeah, as I got older, my allergy went full circle, and I was told to not eat anything.
I've got an idea for a fun radio bit. What if we bring some shrimp back to the studio?
Oh.
We'll keep it cold somehow, because you'll eat it Monday. So we'll eat it. We'll figure that part out.
What if we go to the MedStar clinic right up the street from the studio and eat it in the lobby?
Live on air, you have to eat the shrimp, and we'll see if you're still allergic.
Well, I'd be worried about Chris Russell putting pepper on it and then
that's a good point.
Claiming it as his own. But yeah, I'm open to we'll have to clear with legal and see if we can do that. But yeah, sure, why not?
The game will be, is Darris still allergic to shrimp?
Will Darris die?
Will Darris survive? Tune in next.
Just make sure the game show music is ready.
Someone turn the game show music off.
Grant,
for God's sakes, he's swelling up.
It is a Friday field trip out in Leesburg. Next, because it's Friday, we're going to win off the field. We do that on this show every Friday at this time. Don't do it for us. Do it for Bruce Allen.
For Bruce.
Who put in a lot of sweat and tears making sure this organization was run terribly. You call in and you tell us what little mini moral victory has made you smile today that nobody else would care about. Winning off the field, 800-636-1067, next on Grant and Danny. It is time to figure out how you are winning off the field. So if you're new to the program, this is a weekly staple. We used to do this every day. Now we don't on Fridays. Make it special. Bruce Allen, many, many years ago, when the team was bad and they never won, he ran the team, and he once said this phrase in a press conference.
We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
Off the field doesn't really matter a whole lot in sports, right? I mean, it's nice to do good things, but we're fans. We want them to win.
Yep.
On the field. So we decided what's an off-field win, and they're things that don't matter at all. These are things that nobody else would care about, but they're nice little pick-me-ups during your day.
Trivial. Minutia.
I'll give you a couple examples.
Please do.
It's officially fall, and I can now comfortably rock hoodies when I walk the French Bulldog every single night. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
We are enjoying ourselves on a perfect weather day on the back patio at Spanky Shenanigans on a Friday field trip in Leesburg, enjoying fellowship and revelry with other fans of the first place Washington Commanders who are all getting ready for football on a Sunday in a good mood. Therefore, we are.
Winning off the field.
Yeah, I have a couple examples. One I had planned on doing. The other actually literally just happened.
Okay.
So, welcome back to the segment. I'm Grant. This is Danny. We're here at Banking. You're doing this. It's happening, right? Bruce says, winning off the field, winning on the field, all I do is win, etc. During the time that you gave the example of Bruce once said these words, I have enough time to lift my microphone up thusly. Okay, I went up, and then I went with a french fry.
Yeah.
And I ate it. I'm doing it. I'm recreating it just to show.
Yeah.
But I ate it, and no one knew. Like, I didn't ruin the segment by eating on the air. I didn't go full Bickle. You know what I mean? So because I got away with it, therefore I am.
Winning off the field.
In addition, last night I played some pickup hoops, okay? Land awkwardly, because I do land awkwardly. I'm old and unathletic these days. And I get a little stinger in the back.
Oh, boy.
It's a muscle. It's tight. Now I'm going, uh-oh, is it bad? It's not bad. I had to sub out for a second, rolled on a lacrosse ball, just a little seize up. Because I'm not, like, you know, done for weeks and months now, therefore I am.
Winning off the field.
There you go.
My mom texted me, so I just want to go back to something. At the end of last segment, we were joking with Darris saying he should eat a shrimp, and we'll see if he's still allergic. My mom texted me and said, that's a terrible idea. That poor guy, that could kill him.
Oh,
mom,
no.
It was a joke. We're not really going to have him eat the shrimp to see if he'll die.
Oh, I thought we were. We'd, like,
no.
Order the logistics already set up?
But I have a caring, loving mother.
That is really sweet.
Therefore, I am.
winning off the field.
She's still in my mid-30s, doesn't want me to make decisions that could cost me prison time. That's
Isn't
a good
that
thing.
Nice?
That's
Isn't
very
that nice?
Nice. Isn't that sweet? I like that about
I just want to say thank you, Mama Paulson.
Right?
That is so sweet to worry about my health and well-being.
It. You were considering
like,
it.
I thought we were doing it.
Are we're we not? Are we not?
Are we literally not doing it? We're not in the trust tree with the nest?
If my mom doesn't want me to do it, I'm not going to do it.
Okay, fine. That's fine.
I won't be doing it.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Ali in Fairfax, who's on line four on Grant and Danny. Figure out how he's winning off the field. What's up? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Happy Friday. So for my winning off the field, I ran into my buddy GP yesterday at the Caps game while we were in line for the bathroom.
Oh, by the way, this was
winning
hilarious.
Off the field.
So he come. Are you still there, by the way?
Yeah, I'm here.
So he comes up to me and he goes, GP. And I'm like, what's up, man? We're in line to go into the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's a perfectly fine place to meet and greet. Nothing
sure,
wrong
sure,
with
sure,
that.
Sure. It's not at the stall.
We were not at the urinals. Right. That would have been slightly weirder. Mm-hmm. And he goes, shoot, you said if I see you at the game tonight to tell you something. And then neither of us could remember what it was the entire time. Did you ever remember?
I'm pretty sure you just said to say hello now that I think
okay.
about it.
Okay. That's good.
That's why we couldn't remember anything.
Because it wasn't a remarkable thing to say.
Well, I love it. Exactly. It was good chatting with you.
That's great.
A lot of 106.7 The Fan fans out at the Caps game last night. They're 2-1, by the way. Let's go to Andrew in Warrington on G&D. Andrew, what's good?
Yeah, so normally I work 4 10-hour days, get it done. So Fridays are my day off. I take care of the 2-year-old at home and the 13-year-old when she gets home from school. However, today, out of the blue, my mother-in-law comes out of nowhere and says, get away, leave the house. And so, therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
God, what a gift.
How about it?
That is amazing.
The swoop in and shoo, where you're like, oh, are you sure? Okay, bye.
I have a quick question. We have a nice listening audience out here live today.
Uh-huh.
Is it babysitting if you're watching your own kids? Because I always say, like, to my, if my wife's going somewhere, I'm like, yeah, I'll babysit the kids. And she's like, it's not babysitting. You are the dad.
You're parenting, yeah.
But my thing is, no, I'm clearly babysitting. So, like, you're a mother. Is that babysitting?
No.
She's yelling at me no.
Yeah, she's like, no.
But her husband's nodding yes. So the fight continues. Rich and Olney, you were on Grant and Danny. What's up?
What's going on, boys? How you feeling today?
Hey, Bob.
Good, brother.
So we got Halloween up and coming, and the family finally decided on a theme without fighting. Costumes came in, and they all fit like a glove. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Follow up, what are we going to be?
That's a gigantic win, by the way.
So we're doing the Marvel kind of theme again. Wife is going to be Rogue. We got Wolverine, Deadpool, and I'm going to be Channing Tatum's Gambit.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Yes. Yeah, by the way. Thank you, Rich.
If you haven't seen it yet, now you know.
Yeah, but he's in it. He's in it, everyone. God.
Danny found that out the hard way.
Yeah, like I hadn't had a chance to see it yet. Literally, I was like,
in fairness, it had been out for 24 hours. I saw it opening night.
Yeah.
Me and Darius are talking in code about all the things that nobody knew was going to happen. And Ryan looks at my – he's like, well, I don't understand. And I type it on the screen so Danny doesn't know. And Ryan goes – wait, Channing Tatum is a new character called Gambit?
Yeah, Channing Tatum stars in the movie as Gambit? And it's the biggest reveal of the film? He reads what you wrote? Like, oh, okay.
Danny just about punched him in the face.
So that moment, it was like, in the theater for me, you know? And like everyone else is at 9:30 in the morning with me and like a bunch of blue-haired retirees who are into Deadpool and Wolverine or whatever's playing at 9:30 a.m.
It could have been that.
They went nuts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Ryan.
12 hours before he revealed it, I'm in the theater, legit, not a bit. Like, this is I can count on one hand the number of times in my life this has happened. When there's a scene in Deadpool Wolverine where there's a reveal of, like, three straight just ridiculous, like, oh, my God, in this movie, him right now? Boom, boom, boom. And the entire theater stood up and clapped.
Went nuts.
Except that Ryan just told Danny that it was coming.
So it's the second biggest pop. Even, again, talking about a bunch of retirees and folks that can go to a movie at 9:30 a.m. who don't have a weird schedule like us. That's second biggest. Number one was probably when Captain America picked up Thor's hammer in
that's
Endgame.
A good one.
Like it's packed. There's a buzz when it leaves the ground and everyone's going, oh, like is it? And he holds it up and like looks up. Ballistic.
So this is dating me a bit, and it's also a reminder of how hot this guy was in comedy. But in the movie Wedding Crashers, when Will Ferrell shows up as Chaz or whatever the guy's
Chaz
name
Reinhold.
Is.
He's an innovator.
Chaz Reinhold. Because the whole movie, he's like, Chaz Reinhold would do this. Chaz Reinhold would do that. And then with 15 minutes left in the movie, we meet Chaz, and he's off of the greatest comedy heater of Anchorman and all this other stuff.
Just in a bathroom.
And I remember when it's Will Ferrell, like, sitting on the couch, like, doing this, the entire theater lose. Like, they're like, yeah! Like, it was such a moment.
10.
Let's go to Aaron, who's on 95. What's up, Aaron? How are you?
Hey, good. How you doing?
Good, bro.
So I'm redoing a bunch of rooms in my house, and I got to go buy some tile for one of the bathrooms. So I go to the tile store, Home Depot, actually, and I find a bunch of expensive tile. I get frustrated, and then I see this sale rack, and I see some boxes of tile. Looks like they'll fit. Looks good. There's no price on them. Since they're on the clearance rack, I figure they might be a good deal. So I put them in my shopping cart, and I go to the self-checkout, and I start checking out. And the system charges me one penny per box of tile. So I'm talking about $500 worth of tile, probably. The system wants to charge me a penny per box.
And you corrected the system, right?
What's that?
You corrected the system. You told the system it was wrong.
I actually did. I thought about it. I called the guy over. I said, listen, this doesn't look right. I feel kind of guilty. He couldn't figure it out. He calls the manager. The manager comes over. He couldn't figure it out. He says, I guess you get tile for four pennies. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
Wow, dude.
That's how the game is played, boys and girls.
That's your four-penny tile situation.
That is how you win off the field. We are giving away Caps tickets as soon as we return on Grant and Danny. We'll get you a Beltway Blitz on the Commanders, the NFL, and preview this weekend's game right here on The Fan.